Hello, everyone. My name is Cody, and this is my podcast for my national security brief. Today, I have Mr. Paul Jones with me. He's going to serve as a key facilitator here in creating this conversation from our brief. So today, we're going to talk about the purpose of this national security memorandum, which I provide is recommendations to mitigate the risk of the People's Republic of China from asserting its regional influence in the Indo-Pacific region that potentially threatens the United States' vital interests, values, and stability in the international system. I recommend three policy recommendations throughout my policy brief, in which we'll discuss here shortly. And I want to just, this is going to be a conversation really between Paul and I, and just some of the challenges that we might have with implementing these recommendations on a national security perspective. But just a little bit of background as well. So in history, recent times, Russia has invaded Ukraine. The United States has just waged war against Iran. So that just leaves China, you know, as the potentially the next leading candidate to ultimately pursue its strategic interests in the world. You know, because the United States and Russia are doing that, what makes China from, or preventing China from doing the same? So this is some of the things we're going to look at today. So Paul, just go ahead and introduce yourself. Give us a little bit about your history and what you could provide today.
No, thank you. First off, I just want to say how much I appreciate being invited onto this podcast. I'm a graduate student here at St. Mary's University. My background has primarily been in healthcare. I am an Air Force vet, and I did military medicine while I was in the service. So definitely appreciate my time traveling abroad and serving our country in that capacity, and appreciate all that I'm learning from Dr. Lucy here in national security.
Yeah, I appreciate that shout out to Dr. Liu. She definitely has been a key advocate in our learning here, especially with China. She has a lot of good insights in that. But, you know, speaking of China, just two of the strategic claims that are just convene or have issues with national or U.S. national security interests is really the claims to the South China Sea and just reintegrating itself to Taiwan, because China has a lot of history with Taiwan. It used to be a part of larger China. So to them, it's just really being central to its territorial integrity and national identity. Similar to Russia in some case with regards to their claims to Ukraine. So we can pull some parallels, but I'm just gonna start with three policy recommendations I recommended. And then I just want to get you, again, your feedback, you know, and like potential challenges, like, you know, other recommendations that we could see to ultimately potentially prevent another war, specifically in the Indo-Pacific. So my three recommendations are diplomatic. First is to strengthen and institutionalize allied coordination in Indo-Pacific. Second is the intelligence side, which is enhance integrated intelligence collection and information sharing. And then lastly is the military side, which is implement an offshore balancing strategy in the Indo-Pacific. So, Paul, give me your thoughts.
Well, I appreciate having all three of these to consider. They're all important, or I see that they all have value, so I don't think you choose one over the other per se. I think that's something we could incorporate all of them and be effective. I will say that as I read over your paper and as I look at our current geopolitical concerns, you definitely advocate for a coalition and for the Indo-Pacific allies to come together and for others to kind of collectively work through some of these concerns at the South China Sea. My thought, or my concern, if you want to call it that, would be with the current administration in the United States, President Trump doesn't seem to have much of an appetite to build coalitions, you know, and I think here where you're talking to the National Security Council or you're trying to advise the U.S. government on ways forward, I do think that these are solid recommendations. I think that might be challenging to get President Trump and his core leadership group to agree that these other nations need to be kind of brought into the discussion and work as peers to address these concerns. I mean, that was just one thought. I see kind of what's happened in Iran or even Venezuela, where President Trump decides as the commander-in-chief, which he's of course entitled to do whatever he thinks is necessary in that role, in that capacity, but historically he hasn't really seen the value or the need of consulting others. And so I'm just kind of curious to maybe hear your thoughts on that, or just send that back your way for reconsideration.
Yeah, I think you brought up some great points. You know, it's like definitely the Trump administration would have some issues creating that coalition, because if we look at NATO, right, NATO is currently going through this same issue right now. It's like, you know, the alliance and the integrity of NATO is definitely being undermined through the Trump administration. So it's just like, are we going to be able to commit to our security commitments that we're going to guarantee in these Indo-Pacific region, you know, specifically if China does something, you know, to try to lay claim to a strategic interest in the South China Sea and also to Taiwan. So it's like, would we intervene or just have some kind of foreign intervention? But I believe so, we would, because, you know, we do, Taiwan first has a major manufacturer of chips. So it'd be behoove of us to, you know, commit to our security alliances there, because that is a integral part of our military, but not just military, also economic infrastructure. You know, these resources are fundamental to the economy, you know, and not just the United States, but globally. And specifically the South China Sea, you know, is like, I think 1/3 to 1/5 of the world's trade or commerce transit the area. So I think definitely NATO is its issues, you know, with the Trump administration. But I also think that because Trump sees the potential interest in the area, I think he might also consider these alliances as fundamental to strengthen the area, because we're currently engaged in the war in Iran. We don't have a lot of resources to commit to the area. So like, how do we prevent China from wanting to assert its territory and maintain that balance of power? But like, I think it's a solid point though. It's just like, you know, are we going to be able to commit on our alliance commitments, you know, or our security commitments to these allies, you know?
Well, I think another thing to consider, we do have a strong relationship with so many nations, you know, like say India, you know, we trade very heavily with them, and Japan and Australia. I mean, so many of these other nations on the other side of the globe, outside of the NATO environment. And my concern would be that while we do have opportunities to build upon some of these relationships, my concern is that at some point we might be stretching our military a little bit too thin. And this is just my opinion, of course, but right now you have the current administration, which is he's essentially a lame duck. He can not being able to get voted into a third term. He is in a position where he can make more risky decisions, and he doesn't need to worry quite so much about the popularity of these decisions as far as whether or not that's going to impact the next cycle of elections for him to get back into office, because he doesn't have that concern. That being said, as he's making a lot of decisions rather aggressively, you know, we saw some kinetic activity in Venezuela. You know, we see Iran, of course, which you've already mentioned. President Trump has recently talked about engaging with Cuba, as so many previous presidents have done as well. You know, nobody's really happy with that communist government and have threatened, you know, taking action, and President Trump is kind of more or less on board with that, you know, keeping that rhetoric alive. And then here we are talking about China. It just seems to be an endless list. And my concern, even as you read the National Security Strategy of November 2025, it really highlights so many different regions of the world. But my question or my thought is, if everything is a priority, then nothing's a priority. You know, I mean, it's hard to really keep the troops' morale up and have the resources necessary to succeed in all of these different, you know, military engagements.
I agree, and I think you brought up an important point, is like stretching our military thin. That's why my third recommendation was going for the strategy of offshore balancing. So just having limited military resources within the area, you know, because we're currently in a war, you know. So I think allocating those resources are to take priority in the Middle East over the China. So, and that just leaves to allowing the balance of power really in the area to compete, you know. And of course China can outcompete a lot of its predecessors really within the region, but I think that's the importance of also the diplomatic side, is to strengthen these nations through the procurement of defense capabilities, by selling them some of our weapon capabilities and everything else, you know, these advanced weapon systems, so that way they have the opportunity and technological advancement over China, you know, because the China is building up its navy, you know, so that is going to be a threat, a big threat, specifically in the littoral waters. So, and I think to counteract that, I think we definitely need to start investing in the defense capabilities of some of these nations, which is just a big economic side we can monopolize on. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree that it's a complicated world, you know, and it's hard to really know what the best answer is with how to go forward. Candidly, and I'm just going to maybe take this from a slightly different angle. If I was China, for instance, you know, now would be a good time to aggressively take action against Taiwan, because America is already on the other, you know, in a whole different engagement doing something. We're distracted, if you will. So if China's paying attention, now might be the ideal time for them to strike. So that would give them possibly a better chance of success, knowing that the U.S. isn't available to engage 100%. I mean, if you look at World War II, sure, we had a front in the Pacific and we had the European theater, but we don't really have a military today that can successfully engage in two battles at once. I mean, we tried to do that in Iraq and Afghanistan for a minute, and neither of that turned out very well. But my concern is, again, with the military getting stretched really thin and distracted, and we're kind of having these squirrel moments and chasing after every perceived threat. Now would be a good time for China to follow through with their word. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think that's a reasonable prediction?
Absolutely, and I think that's why I wrote this policy brief, because I see the potential strategic interest for China to make action, you know, because this is something, now's the time for them to do something if they really want to lay claims to the South China Sea and Taiwan. You know, and you mentioned, you know, before, it's like we live in a world of scarcity, so this is how we allocate these resources, specifically within the U.S., you know, military, economically, and everything else is like it really matters. And we have a lot of tension in the Middle East, and that just creates that opportunity, that avenue approach for China to come in and lay siege. So I think this is the whole point of the discussion, you know, is to provide awareness of to the potential realities that we live in, you know, is that China can act at any time. And I think it's a matter of strategically prioritizing and seeing this, and how do we strategically plan for this? And I believe my three recommendations at least have something of a little foundation of a bedrock for us to mitigate this issue, because it is a significant risk to the United States. And I would like to end on that note, is because, you know, it's like if we don't act now, we are going to be in a dire situation, particularly in the U.S. shoes. So now is the time to start thinking what China is potentially going to do, because we need to know what our enemy is thinking before us to act. And I believe these three recommendations provide us at least a guiding framework of what we should do, and provide awareness on the issue for potentially looking out and being aware of what China's thinking. But any final remarks?
No, again, I just want to say thank you again for having me on your podcast. I think it's a very relevant topic, something that is near and dear to all of us as far as military members and vets, and we have family and friends that are serving currently, and I just pray that our leadership will make good decisions going forward as they've done in the past.
God bless. Thank you, Paul.